This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about the Disney parks, the Disney races, and whatever else comes up. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Hello, Christopher.
I wanted to make sure I got your name correct, because I always stumble through it.
It's McLean, but that's fine.
God, why do you have to be so difficult?
I know. My students just call me Dr. S because they can't, say it all with their mask. They're panting by the end of it.
I'll introduce you from now on as Dr. S.
It sounds like a Marvel character, doesn't it?
Yeah. You're the evil supervillain.
Dr. S. The science educator.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am back on campus again.
Chris. Back to school.
Yes. And yeah. I don't know if I told you this, but because of a scheduling glitch, I have to teach three-hour classes one day a week.
Oh, dear.
So I'm teaching on Tuesday for 9 hours.
Oh,
all undergraduates.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well.
But anyway, I'm here now. Happy to see you.
Happy to see you too. Also with us is the dean, not the dean of your college, but the dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
I think that this is our first podcast together for 2022. I think we've had other.
I think you're right.
I think so.
Because we pre-recorded.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, the reason we pre-recorded was because I actually went down for marathon weekend. Where I ran the Goofy, which was the half and the full, which I completed. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then we spent another week there. So this episode and the following episode, we're going to discuss in this one, the race portion of it. And then the second one will be on my experience at the parks, et cetera. So.
Is it okay, Chris, if we sort of go like in a linear fashion? And
I'm thinking that's the best way to do it.
I need to be organized here.
Well, yeah, I do too. And what's interesting is I think I sent you, like, what's good is I can almost look at my timeline in text messaging to you to remind me what was going down.
It was like, I think you said this because I said, please keep us in the loop. And you said, I'm going to be a photojournalist. And we were sad not to be there, but boy, was it fun to look at your pictures and sort of get your commentary.
Yeah, it was. What was interesting was your thoughts. You were like, okay, Expo, tell me what's going on. And I sent you pictures as we went through. And I'll look through them. But
well, I want to hear first about your trip down, because I know you were not. You were on the fence about whether or not you should do this. You were, and then of course, being on the fence, what did nature throw at you? A snowstorm. So.
Right.
How was the trip?
Yeah, my wife was very gung ho. She was like, the numbers are bad in New Jersey. The numbers are bad in Florida. You know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, whether we're home or we're away. So she was definitely into going. And so I sort of had to have a mental talk with myself, I guess, and basically said, I'm going to do everything I can do to be safe down there, but we're going to go and, I'm going to mask up as I need to and avoid people as much as I can. My biggest concern was I wanted to get through the race without being sick. A couple of years ago, I was doing the dopey challenge, and I contracted the flu the night before the marathon. So I had gotten through and I felt great all the way through the three races. And at about like midnight before the marathon, I started sweating like crazy. I was actually delusional. My wife was really worried about me because I was hallucinating. I was like really bad. My fever was so bad. And so I couldn't run that final race. And so it was sort of one of those moments where you're just angry that you missed out. So my goal was to get through the races. And then if I got sick, I got sick, but, I would sit in the room the rest of the trip and that would be that. Luckily, that didn't happen. But we were scheduled to fly down Friday morning, and the news kept coming back, and we were getting messages from the airlines saying that it looked like there was going to be snow that morning. And so we made an on-the-fly decision to we rebooked our flight to Thursday night. We talked to our wonderful travel agent, Becky Menken of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, and she was able to procure us an extra night at our hotel. We didn't have to go to a different room, a different hotel. They just tacked one on the front. We flew down.
It'd be amazing during race weekend that would be so easy.
And that it happened that day. Like, so we decided to do this on a Thursday at like, oh God, I want to say like 10 in the morning. My wife came in and said, I think we should do this. What do you think? I was like, pull the trigger. Let's go. Check with Becky. We were able to get our flight out. I think it was at 9 o'clock. We wound up getting to the hotel, I think somewhere like getting to bed like about 2 o'clock in the morning, which wasn't bad because the next day was just really the only thing we had planned was the race retreat.
Retreat or expo?
You mean expo?
The expo, sorry. Yeah. I know the race retreat that doesn't exist anymore. We got down, we got a car service at the air. Like, it was great. Becky was able to get us. I mean, the hardest thing in the world was to get us a car service at like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
But she did. I mean, I was amazed at the way that, I mean, I know I sound like a shill for Becky, but she really helped us out. We were able to get this flight and I didn't know what we were going to do. Like, I told Becky, I'm like, if we do get in, what do we do if we don't have a car? And she's like, you'll have to take a cab. I mean, like, it's as simple as that, or an Uber. And, you know, four people and a bunch of luggage is not great for an Uber. So we probably have to take two. But she got us, you know, I want to give a plug because we had somebody set up and the company that I normally take down there, I'm not going to say who it was because it's I'm sort of bashing them a little bit. She had said, we need, let me see if I can find it. Okay. So she said, we need somebody to pick up. It's a VIP, because she was lying because it's only me, to be picked up at like 1 o'clock. And
very impatient person.
Yes, very impatient person. And they were like, nope, sorry. And like hung up. Like, they didn't even give her like more than, like, she was like kind of annoyed with them. And then she contacted another company that she's been trying to get me to use for years, but I was using this other company for years and they always did right by me. So I always felt like, hey, when somebody does good for you, you honor their service and you keep going back to them. And she wanted to get me with this other company called Black Diamond Luxury Transportation. And she called them up.
I know Magical Express is no more, but you never did Magical Express. You always do a car service.
We always do a car service. I mean, I know it sounds, as my kids say, bougie, whatever. But I don't want to waste time with, like, you know, a 2 hour bus ride.
Don't go on a lot of vacations. Yep.
So those wonderful people at Black Diamond said, give us a little time. We might not be able to get our people, but they like subcontract out to other people, but it's people that they trust. And the guy that picked us up was a joy. He was wonderful. He grabbed our bags. We ran to the car. He was quiet. He didn't talk to us the whole time because he probably knew we were exhausted at this point at 1 o'clock in the morning, and got us to the hotel. We went in. Unfortunately, because we had to switch days, I didn't have a room number yet. So I did have to go to the front desk, even though I had pre-checked in. But
a line.
There was no line. They were the cast member was wonderful. She set me up lickety split, knew again that we were just exhausted and ready for bed.
For a full night, even though you weren't there.
I know. I was going to say, we paid for a full night. We only got to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, it was a thing. But hey, you know, it worked out well. We made our way the following morning over to the expo, which
it's kind of cool because you guys have always, like, whenever we go down for race weekend, I think we're always there when the expo doors open, and it's crazy. But I think the way that you guys do it is often you're there after the expo has been running for a few days, which is not a big deal because you don't want to buy up all the merchandise, right?
We have not been very big purchasers of merchandise, especially the official merch. It's not a big thing. Like, we get our medals, we get our shirts from the races, but not one to get anything like that. Obviously, the buses required the masks, so we wore those. The buses were pretty quick. I want to say we did not wait long at all. Took us over there. Again, the rules down there were the outdoors you could go without a mask, but they required masks indoors. I will say the one interesting thing, I hope Mike, you're going to find out numbers at some point about how many people did the races. Obviously when you're in corrals, it feels like there's tons of people, but I don't think there were as many as previous years. Like, I sent you a picture, of the expo, the portion where you would go for your bibs and stuff like that. And it was like an empty, it was the arena, but it was just empty, like literally like empty.
It wasn't even open, the picture
right,
that you sent.
Right. It looked like it was like they were preparing for it. And what was interesting is they only had so normally when you go, there are multiple kiosks in a row for the different bib numbers for each race. So like there's the 5K and there's like seven different stations for all the numbers, right? Because there's that many people going. And then you go to the 10K and then you go to the dopey for the goofy, they had one place, like one little kiosk that was basically the size of a table, like a kitchen table. So I'm assuming there were not a lot of people doing the goofy.
All right. Now, so I want to stop at every turn and ask you, did you feel safe? Sounds like you felt safe on the bus.
Yeah, the bus was great. Like, again, at this point, there weren't a lot of people on the bus. And those on the bus obviously all were masked up. When we got to the expo, they made sure that you were masked up. Like, they were really good about it and diligent in that sense. And there weren't a lot of people at that point. Like, when we were walking through the bib pickup, there were not a lot of people. We then moved over. It was fairly quick. My sons did the half, so they had to go get theirs, and it was really quick. I mean, like, they were really wonderful. We picked up our bibs, and then we went over to, I don't know the different building names, but we went to the other one, which was
the milk house.
Is that what it is? Whatever. Mm-hmm. So it had, basically it was like you pick up your shirts and they had all the vendors there. So it was a little bit busier. And we actually went shopping. We looked for a few things. My wife got a couple of those things you put on your shoes. Like, they have like little jewel things that you put on your shoes. And so she put those, she got those. And the boys got some armbands for their phones because they forgot theirs at home. We saw Jeff Galloway there, which was wonderful. I didn't speak to him. I kind of just figured he has no clue who I am, even though we've talked a couple of times.
Did they set up like a Jeff Galloway Run Disney? Okay.
I think I sent you a picture of him.
Yes.
Talking to a couple people, and there was like a booth there with his stuff, and he was double masked and you know, being careful, which is good because, you know, he's recovering. And he actually was on the morning of the race. He came out and talked to the crowd, and his son talked to the crowd, and his daughter-in-law talked to the crowd, and they discussed about the fact that he had a heart attack this past year and that he was doing much better. I think he actually ran one of the races.
He ran the half, right?
Yeah, I think he did the half, right?
I can check.
Yeah.
I think it's what it was.
I think you already told me he did.
Which was amazing. Again, it was not packed. There were a lot of people in that portion of it. But I did feel safe. I felt okay. I, you know, with a mask up, I was feeling okay. And pretty much everybody was being well behaved. I think, as we'll discuss on the next show, everybody knew the right thing to do and did it, especially in the inside. So it was nice to see. The Ray shirts, it was funny. I because I was doing the Goofy, I got the marathon, the half marathon, and the Goofy shirts, and they were gold, blue, and magenta. And as I looked at them, I said, oh my God, they're Star Trek colors. Like, it was like literally the colors of Star Trek uniforms. And the guy behind the counter was like, oh my God, you're right. Look at that. I didn't see that before. So it was a wonderful change from the previous color system. The shirts, the designs were wonderful. The quality of the shirts was equally great. It was sort of a, you know, it's so funny. You and I had this talk before, Michelle. You like the shirts of recent years where they were like a little thinner, lighter. I like the previous ones that were kind of like heavier with a texture to them. This is sort of an amalgam of both. It was a lighter shirt with a bit of a texture to it, which I really loved. I thought it was amazing. I'm looking forward to wearing those out when I'm running. So that was amazing. And then we went over to, they had a separate location again for the official Disney merch. What was funny was, while I was chatting with you, I was also chatting with Becky, and Becky's like, I'm getting word that the official merch is gone. There's nothing left. And so I went in there thinking that we were going to get nothing. There was going to be nothing in there, but it was actually pretty well stocked when I got there. I think I sent you guys pictures. There was a ton of half marathon shirts. There were a bunch of marathon shirts. There were a few dopey shirts. I think there was even some Goofy shirts. They had.
Yeah, in the past year, I've seen races of people buying, you know, handfuls and armfuls of stuff. And I didn't see that at all from anybody this year.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if they had like signs saying like limited, like you're limiting, they would limit. Because I know they did it pretty much with everything else. Like everywhere you went around the Disney parks, there were signs saying limited to a customer. So like you couldn't, they didn't want you hogging
popcorn things. Containers.
Yeah. Like, you know, but yeah, that kind of stuff. So, so for the first time we've actually bought official run Disney stuff. I think I mentioned in previous shows, my friend Nate and his girlfriend were going to run. He was going to do the dopey and she was going to do the half. And because of their flights and because they were a little worried about COVID, they decided to stay home. And they were going to do the runs at home. He did the 5K, the 10K, the half, and then he went to do the full, but he was doing it on a track near his home because it had snowed and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't realize, but he actually got dizzy and had to stop halfway through. So he only got through a half marathon on his final day and called it quits. But, you know, his girlfriend and him ran the half marathon distance at home. So I wanted to pick them up shirts to sort of congratulate them for at least trying. So I got them, you know, so he's already refusing to wear his shirt because he feels like he didn't do it. But they sent me a picture of her wearing her shirt. And then my wife got a couple of Run Disney shirts and stuff like that. So she was, which is a first. We've never done that before. I think part of it was also the crowds weren't bad. So she was like, oh, I can look around a little bit and not feel like I have to scramble and you know, and get it. So so we did that. The one other thing I did notice about the shirts that we got from Disney for the races, you know, the official shirts, on the back, they usually have the sponsors. And in previous years, like, it's covered, right? Like, your whole back is covered with sponsors. This one, they only had four. Wow. So it was like Advent Health, Citizen, Dasani, and Enterprise. Nothing else. The bags usually, like, so we laugh because Audra's first race, she actually got a free park pass for the next day. And then they gave you a whole bunch of other stuff, right? And then as years have gone on, they've switched, you know, they've given you less things or they started doing digital things. This bag, we got nothing. It was literally the shirts. We got shirts and we got the safety pins. That's all they gave
not
us.
Not even craisins or
nothing. Like not even like little pack of Oreos. Not even like, you know, what they used to give you, like a goo thing or anything. It was literally an empty bag with the shirts and some safety pins. So, but it was a fun experience. I mean, going through, it was exciting. We were like excited to, you know, for the races that kind of build up our excitement even further than it already was. My wife, while we were at home, she was so excited. Our two nieces were going to run the half marathon with us. So my wife made some homemade tutus for us to wear. So we had those. So we
have done that.
Yeah, have you done the tutu?
I ran the, when Michelle and I did the marathon relay on Sunday, I ran the tutu with the names of breast cancer survivors.
Oh.
Yes. Chris, you made our shirts.
That's true.
I still have it.
It's funny. I've made shirts for you. I made some for other friends who were doing the runs at some point. So it's been an interesting, exciting thing, the Run Disney experience. So where should we go next? Should we?
I'm really interested in the corrals. This is like probably the most interesting. Yeah, I don't think that you told us about the corrals. So
okay.
So normally the deal is you're on a crowded bus, you go to a crowded race holding area, you walk the mile and a quarter to the very crowded corrals,
and you stand for
an hour in the cold.
It was actually not so bad. My wife, again, being the brilliant person she is, she actually ordered what are those? The Mylar blankets ahead of time. So they come in like these little 3-inch by 3-inch blocks, like, you know, like all folded up. And so she made sure she had, like, cause she's the mom. She got for all of us, including our nieces. But yeah, so we got there here's the interesting thing. So the races were scheduled to go off at 5. We were on our bus at 3. And it was, you know, it's the same thing. Again, everybody's wearing their masks. Everybody is polite. They're happy. They're excited. They're nervous. It's interesting to watch people on the bus because they're just so many different kind of reactions to it. There's the one that's never run the race before and sitting next to the person who has done these a million times and giving some pointers. So it's fun to hear all of that stuff going on. It was quick to get there. I was surprised at how many people were coming. It felt as busy. I will have to take a look at the numbers, but it felt very busy. Go ahead, Mike, give me the numbers.
For the half marathon, Chris, it looks like it was about a 50% what we're normally looking at. Normally we're looking at 23,000 to 25,000. There were 12,699 finishers. There were only 5,300 men and 7,300 women. So, and in the marathon, there was even fewer people, 11,329 finishes. So I would say it sounds like half, you experienced half the capacity that we all have normally seen in the last 10 years.
Right.
Probably due to COVID, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, well, what was interesting is when we arrived, it's hard to explain to people who haven't been there or, you know, I think, you know, like you sort of get off the buses, they lead you to a place that's sort of like an open area that's not the final corrals area. Right. Like, so they have like, you know, a DJ up there singing and playing music and pumping everybody up. And then there's lavatory. I will say the great thing was they had those porta-johns everywhere. There were a lot of them. They were everywhere. They were like on every step of the way. Like, so they had a bunch right when you arrived and there were a bunch in the holding place right before you walk to drop off your bags. And then there were more when you got to near the corrals, and then there were more in the corrals. Like, it was crazy, like the amount of porta-johns that they had. But it was helpful. Like, you know, everybody was sort of stopping in to go to the bathroom and, you know, nerves kick in and stuff like that. but it felt crowded. You know, you do that walk out, like it's a mile walk out. Like it literally is a mile from where they drop you off.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. All the way out to the corrals. The corral system worked like this. There were six corrals. They were S1 through six. In the half, it was 1, 2, 3, 4. And then 5 and 6 were on the other side of the street. In the full, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row, and then 6 on the other side. And I'll explain soon after why that was.
How do you know what corral you're in?
So you get it on your bib. It tells you it was like S1, 2,
3. Did you have to submit a race time?
They did. They normally ask you for a race time, what you were. And we tried to make it, we set up ours so we could make sure that we could run with our sons and our nieces. So like one niece has never run a half marathon before. So we knew she was going to be sort of in the back more. So we all sort of submitted times around that. And so luckily enough, we were all in the same corral. We got to S5. Probably if I was having my way, I would have been in S4 for the races, but it was fine. You know, you got to run with our family and it was that's really the reason we were doing it. I will say they went off very quickly, like super quick. Like they were like 3 minutes between.
Oh, that's great.
Like they wanted people out, and especially, and I'll explain a little bit in the full marathon, they were getting us out quick. Like we were in the second to last corral and we were out by 5:15, I think 5:20. Which last time I ran, we were probably in a similar corral and it was an hour before we got out. Like we were there like at 5 o'clock and we didn't get out till like six.
Yeah. So like what were people close to each other in the corrals? Were they social distancing?
So it was interesting. There was very much a mix of people wearing masks and people not wearing masks in the corral. There were a lot of people not wearing masks. But there were, you know, there were a considerable amount of people who were wearing their masks, and which was nice to see. Like, you know, I wore mine throughout the corral. Like I wore it until I literally was like up to the race line. Like we were getting up there. Again, it's, you know, it's a wonderful group of people. Like, you know, runners, you know, when you're in this position, all seem to be helpful, thoughtful, conversational. We always seem to attract the strays. My family, one woman, it was her first Disney race and she just bonded to us, and we were chatting with her while we were in the corral and she was giving her life story. And I even saw her while we were on the course and she said hi. And it's a joy. Somebody dropped their bib, and so they were nice enough, people were nice enough to run up to the stand, to the people up on the stand, and to somebody lost their bib. They're going to need their bib. And they were called, Amy, you have your bib. Like they were trying to return it. So it was wonderful in that sense. It was a little unnerving seeing how many people, but again, it was outdoors. So part of it is like, you know, during the trip, even, I went without a mask outdoors unless there were a large number of people. Like if we had to walk through a large crowd, the mask went on just, you know, out of precaution. And I felt that way inside of the corrals. There were, you know, they were kind of packed in, and then they sort of did that thing where they push everybody forward. Everybody move forward. So like you're really in tight. I will say during the race, I want to say less than two hands, I saw people wearing masks. There was really nobody wearing masks during the race. I couldn't wear it, like, you know, but like you sort of make the deal with the devil. You're just like, well, you know, you sort of play the odds in your head. You say, okay, these people are all able to run half marathons, so they're not having breathing issues. They've probably been trying to be careful because they knew they were coming to this race and they didn't want to miss the race. So they've been careful. It's like all these things go through your head as you're there. You're justifying the fact that you're there and not wearing a mask. But but like I said, it went off fairly quick. And actually, you know, it's I will say it saved the hosts so much because it was just, you know, like you've been in the in these corrals and you're in the like one of the last corrals and you've heard the, how many here are here for the first time? You know, it's like, okay, I've heard it 6 times already, like enough. You know, how many people are doing the dopey? Yay! With this, it went so quick. They were releasing people so quick that you didn't have to hear it too much. So
they have fireworks
Every single time.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was a wonderful experience in that sense. We were able to. It was funny. I was going to pace us. I was going to pace us for 3 hours because the boys did no training whatsoever at all. Like, okay, yeah. When I say they didn't run, they did not run at all. Like, they didn't do a training run. They didn't do anything. You know, Justin, who you know, is the fire guy and the EMT guy, has been doing a lot of physical activity because he's, you know, carrying patients. He's running into fire, you know, buildings on fire, carrying equipment. He's, you know, got the heavy helmet and the the outfit that's like weighs 50 pounds. So he's sort of been training without realizing it. So I figured we're going to do that, but we found what's wonderful. Again, if anybody is looking to do a race and hasn't done one before, find yourself a Galloway pacer. They are so wonderful and they are so on it. We actually came across the 3-hour pacer in the corral. So we decided to stick with her. And we got out, we started running, we stuck with her. And it was like, I think it was a 30-30. So it was 30 minute on, 30 minute off. It was great.
30 seconds.
Sorry. 30-30 would have been hard, right? 30 minutes.
Would have been long.
Yeah. But I think we were like 6 miles in and Jeremy was cramping up. He was having a hard time. And so my wife, so one of my nieces just took off like right from the beginning. She was like, I'm not doing this. I'm going for a time. And she did great. I think she finished in 2:12, which was wonderful. And our other niece, who is, you know, a mother of a 1.5-year-old. So she hasn't had a lot of time to do a training. She's done some training, but she, you know, she decided to stick with Audra and my son. And me and my other son just kept moving ahead. We had already lost the 3-hour pacer. So he and I are behind, but he wanted to go. He was determined to get under 3 hours. He wanted to get there. So I was like, okay, I'll go with you. We'll go. I have no problem. If I were going on my own, I probably would have finished in 2:20 maybe. But so we started going. And what was funny is, this is sociology 101, I guess. When we were all together and we had our tutus on, nobody talked to us. When Justin and I were running ahead and we had the tutus on, every woman was talking to us as we went by. Oh, are those tutus aerodynamic? Oh, you look so great in your tutus. Like, it was hysterical. Now, they weren't doing it for me. They were obviously doing it for the young buck. But it was just hysterical to see the sociology in place. Like, people are commenting to us. And then my niece, who had been running with my wife and my son, mother son, broke off and tried to find us and join us. So she actually caught up to us. As soon as she caught up to us, the women never talked to us again. They didn't want to bother with us again. So it was hysterical. So we actually caught back up to the 3-hour pacer. And then in the last mile, he just took off and wanted to beat the 3 hours. So he finished like in 2:56 or something, at 2:58, something like that.
2:53.
Okay.
41.
My niece was struggling. So I decided to hold back and stay with her to make sure that she was okay. So
you were 2:54:11. Yeah, so yeah. Not that much.
Well, right. But you know, I wanted to stick with her. I will say, obviously, the running through the Magic Kingdom was amazing. Obviously, running through Epcot was wonderful. There weren't a lot of, I mean, there were definitely stops for characters, as always. Like, that's always been the thing. You know, again, this time it was different in that the characters were standing off, like, behind. They had, like, little planters set up in front of the characters so you couldn't get close to them. But you could take a picture with them. We didn't do any of that stuff. I want to say I can't remember a band playing for the half marathon. Don't quote me on it. I just don't remember it. Definitely in the full, there were two bands. There was like a marching band and like, I don't know, like there were like some rock fusion band or something like that was at one point.
No
bands in the Disneyland half marathon.
But no high school bands or anything like that?
Chris? Just one. There was a band, a high school marching band off to the side, I think right as we were getting into the Magic Kingdom, right near the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. But, you know, and then the usual amount of characters for the full.
What about course changes?
Well, this is the first time I went and they didn't have us running through what's it called? The ESPN Center thing. You know, like, well, I don't know.
Sports, yeah.
Yeah, the sports. In the past, when they had that, it was like weird. They had you on sidewalks and you kind of like zigzagging through it. And what I loved was going through the baseball field. Like, you get to run the track. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have that this year. I actually did like this course much better. You don't get to the so on the full, you don't get to the Magic Kingdom until mile 10, which is so much different. We used to go in mile 5.
Yeah.
And I think it works much better at 10 because it's such a lift when you get there, you know, and we're almost at the halfway point. People are starting to fade, and then you get into the Magic Kingdom and there's cheering and you see the castle and you know, you get to run through the cat. Like, it really is a pump up moment. So I think it works much, much better there. And then you kind of race out and then you head towards Animal Kingdom. And like I said, it was a much better, the only thing that was negative about the course was that so much of it was tight. I would make a mental note. I was running through, there was a lot of this race was spent in spaces that were 5 people wide. So only 5 people could fit. If you remember when I mentioned the marathon was the corrals were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6 was on the other side of the street. And the reason they got us out quick is you would run out. The first 6 miles were so tight. Like, you were literally running in these small, it was almost like Cone Alley for the first 6 miles.
I was gonna say that. Wow.
And they circle you back through Epcot. They bring you through Epcot and back out, and you run past your corral again at mile 6.5. So, like, we literally ran, and they had cleared out the corrals just in time for, so like you could, like, you, we ran by the start line. So that was a little bit of a kind of downer. It was like, oh my God, I ran 6 miles and I'm back where I started. And it was really tight. And so we were far enough back that there were so many people who are walking. And even though they tell everybody, if you're going to walk, stay to the right, or, you know, don't run more than 2 across, don't, you know, people were doing it. And it was so hard to follow the pacer. We actually found the pacer that we were going for in our corral. My wife and I were the only ones running the full, and we wanted to stick with her, but she was doing that zigzag through everybody to keep the pace going, the pacer.
Oh my God, yeah.
And so you've got a group of, at that point in the beginning, it was a group of probably 20, 25 people who are trying to follow her. And she's going in and out of people, and we're all trying to catch up, and there's so many people in the way, and you're running on the grass and you're trying to not trip. And it was really difficult. And we were I remember specifically thinking at mile 6.5, when it opened up, when we got to the corral section, I'm like, I hope it's not like that for the rest of the race. But there were a lot of places all throughout the race. Like, I mean, we still had Cone Alley. We came out of the Magic Kingdom and it was Cone Alley for a while. Like, it did not open up for a very long time. which was tough. Again, you know, you think about it, there's people walking, it's crowded, you're all on top of each other, and nobody's wearing masks. So it's basically like being in a corral because you're trying to walk and run and you're trying to get around people, and we're trying to keep up. And that was really the only down part. And it's funny, I got surveys from Disney. They asked about my trip, and then they had a Run Disney question. And I think they knew, because there were so many questions about the feeling crowded. Like, there were multiple questions about, like, did you feel crowded and how many people and blah, blah, blah. And so I think they knew when they set up this track that it was going to be a crowded mess.
It was a normal crowd size. It might have been a disaster.
You know,
it would have been awful.
Never felt crowded running in the Disneyland races. I mean, the pacing groups out there were fine. But when you have, as Chris mentioned, most of the course, or a large portion of the course, being only 5-person wide, I mean, how do you, I mean, I would probably be very, very upset with the crowded pacing group. I mean, it's tough enough. I mean, I remember Cone Alley was a downer, because sometimes, you know, you come out of Magic Kingdom and say, okay, now I want to stretch and I want to get going, and you can't because you've got Cone Alley. Then you've got people running on the grass and everything. And
yeah.
So Chris, I was going to ask, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to ask you, how did you get into Hollywood Studios, and did that part of the marathon course change at all?
Yeah. So we came in, there was not much in Hollywood Studios. Normally we came through, remember the old backlot tour? You would come through that thing. Uh-huh. This one, we literally, like, I think we came up like.
Galaxy's Edge? No.
I was going to say we came in even in front of I think we came through by Tower of Terror. So we came in right on the, like, near the, like, we came through Tower of Terror, like, literally you run in, and like, I think they gave us candy right before we went in there, and then you go in and then you hook the left and you're literally out of the park. Like, there was not a lot of Hollywood Studios time in there. It was just enough. It was fine. I mean, by that point, you know, the interesting part is that, like, that's like mile 22. And by that point, you're just like, I want this to be over.
So you went through, you went down Sunset Boulevard and then took a left, then Hollywood Boulevard. And then you were bang, you were out there and you were running by the Skyliner and on your way to Epcot, right?
Right. Correct. Yeah, we followed that path that goes between, like, the boardwalk and Hollywood Studios. We ran down that. But it was, I mean, which was fine. I mean, you know, I think the Animal Kingdom was the same. You kind of came into that side and you go through past Everest. You cut past the Nemo musical. And then they kind of sort of have you go out through the dinosaur area.
Yeah.
So those last two, you don't spend none of them you really spend a lot of time in. But it, you know, it was crazy. You know, they had the characters, they kept things moving. Like I said, the biggest downside was definitely the crowd, the packing, you know, of like 5 people across was really tough at times. You know, and I think it was probably hard for a lot of people around us. Like, we were following a pacer, you know, and it's hard when you're trying to run and then 30 people just stop. Everybody, you see 30 hands go up in the air and then, like, everybody stops and everybody's like, what? Like, how do I get around 30 people?
Chris, what about the water stops and the volunteers?
Oh my God. So, that was one of the great things. The volunteers, obviously, as always, wonderful. They had so many water stops. It was amazing. Like, there was, every water stop had Powerade and water, tons of it, whatever you needed. They had obviously a banana stop in the marathon. They had the sponge that you could, you know, at later in the day, because it was getting warmer. It was definitely a warmer day. The half went fairly cool and it was comfortable, the full definitely heated up. I actually cramped up, and I'll tell you in a minute, but I cramped up at some point. And so I felt like the water stops, they gave out beans, they gave out candy. I think all of that was absolutely phenomenal. I think it was a wonderful race. I think they did a wonderful job. I think the only downside was that crowding people in. But yeah, so it was sort of getting warmer. I think I made the mistake of having too much Powerade and not enough water. And when I headed into Hollywood Studios, my left calf started to cramp up. You ever get that cramp that you know it's going to cramp up fully and not let go? Do you ever get that? Like, it's just like
a Charlie horse.
I mean, like, but it won't let go. Like, it kind of cramps up. And so, like, I literally was like, oh, God. And so I kind of walked it a little bit. We got some water, which was great because it was just coming up on a water stop. I drank like a couple cups of water. I was like, okay, I'm going to keep it going. And then just as I got out of the Hollywood Studios on the path, it started to cramp up again, and I had to walk a bit. And I was like, oh no, like this is going to, like, I got to just get to the finish line. Like I can't, because, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever had like the point where it cramps up and it won't release and you're like, now what do I do? But I was doing
honestly,
okay.
Honestly, I've never had a cramp running. I don't know why. Yeah.
I had a hamstring pop on me 50 yards from the finish line.
That's oof. Yeah. Well,
but I have cramps in bed sleeping, so.
Yeah. I've had it happen a couple of times where it just like, it just seizes up and it won't let go. And I knew the feeling. So I kind of was like, and then I think it was mile 23, 24, something like that, where they have the water station right on that path towards going to Epcot. And so I made sure I chugged some water and I was feeling better. So we ran and we got into Epcot. We, you know, and it brings you around World Showcase, and I got to just about Mexico and I felt it going. And I literally just said, I need to stop for a little bit. And my wife is like, okay. I'm like, we're going to lose. We were just trying to keep up to the 5:30 pacer. We weren't looking to like be heroes and go crazy. And I said, all right, we're going to lose our 5:30. And she's like, hey, you know, my wife was like, look, we're just looking to get through this together. No big deal. And so we did okay. And I started running again. I felt better. We ran and literally, we were just coming around the corner where all the choir was singing and stuff like that towards the end. And I'm like, I literally have to walk the rest of the way. I can't do it. Maybe I'll run through the final, you know, I don't know, what do you call that thing? That final little run through with all the stands are and stuff like that. The
shoot.
Yeah. The shoot, whatever.
Does this happen to you when you're running just your training run?
Nope. No, I've only had it happen, like I said, a couple times during training, right, years ago. Like I had hit 15 miles and it cramped, you know. Well, my problem was I saw my wife and I was jumping up and down to say hi. Like I saw her running from a different direction and I was trying to flag her down and my leg cramped up, my calf cramped up. So I haven't really had it. And so we were coming around and I was like, I got to stop. I got to walk. And she's like, that's fine. And we walked and we got to the chute and I'm like, all right, let's just kind of take it easy. You know, I'll run a little bit. And we started to run and both my legs, both my calves went and they were like this close to just totally locking up. And I stopped and I literally turned and I bent over, like I turned away from the crowd. And I swear they probably all thought I was going to puke right on the spot. And like, it wasn't that. I was trying to stretch so that I didn't cramp out my legs. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. Like, if I run, we're not going to get to the finish line. So we actually walked that last, was it 50 yards?
Oh, Chris.
So,
yeah, you finished.
Yeah,
we did. I, you know, it was very frustrating. But really at that point I was grateful because I thought I wasn't even going to get to the finish line. Like I was like, I was at the point where I was going to go, we're going to end it here. Like 26.1 miles. Wow. Like I'm going to stop. And so, but luckily, we made it across We literally walked in. I went straight, like I got my medal and I went straight to the water people. And I just took like a Dasani water and like gulped it down just to sort of ease it. And then we got our goofy medal and the packages and stuff. So
congratulations. Those are great medals too.
Yeah. Oh, they were wonderful medals. So it was a really good experience. Like I said, other than that last, 50 yards, it was so smooth. Like there was like nothing to write home about. We were just cruising along, and enjoying the run. So, and then we finished up and did our thing and then we were done. So that was it. I mean, it was good. And then we decided to, we went to Tepanito for dinner and celebrated. And then my wife was like, are we doing next year? So we'll see. I might just keep it to the half marathon next year. I might say that's that. She even said to me, she goes, yeah, she just said, you're done. She's like, you're going to do the half next year. You're not doing anything else. I said, all right. Yes, dear.
So are you happy you went after all?
Yeah, I'm glad we went. I'm glad we got it done. It definitely, after you're finished with it, it's like, oh, okay, I'm glad this is over. I mean, I know I was worried about stuff. I will tell you one story. I don't know did I text you this, but I might have. So after the half marathon was done, my family, my nieces were in and their family was in and they wanted to go walk around Hollywood Studios. So we went to Hollywood Studios and went into Star Wars. And I'll tell you this final story before we have to wrap it up because I know we're going very long tonight. We went to Oga's Cafe. And
I remember this story. Okay.
So,
of course.
So this is the deal with getting old. So we went in, we put our names in, we went to Oga's because they wanted to go to Oga's Cafe. But everybody else was done with their races except for my wife and I. So there was 10 of us. We got like two tables together that were separated by the plexiglass. And I wanted to take it easy. I didn't want to order, like they were ordering all the cool fuzzy drinks and this, this, that,
bubbly,
and the other
thing. Bubbly green.
Yeah, whatever the things are. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to take it easy. I'm just going to do a flight of beer. Like that's a simple thing. And, with all the parks now is they have the paperless menus. You scan it in with your phone. You do a QR code and you could look at your phone. I didn't have my glasses with me. And so I was looking through and I was like, oh, the beer flight. Oh, it's $25. That's fine. I can do 20. It's like obviously the beer is expensive, but anywhere else. So I order the flight and they all order their crazy drinks and their drinks show up. And then she shows up with this rack with these, what's called like Rancor Tooth beer samples. And she places it down with the paper menu. And she goes, don't worry, this is not yours. I'm going to give you a brand new one to take home with you. And I was like, what? And so I go to look down at the menu and the type is much larger than on my phone. And it says beer flight with souvenir beer flight table, $85. And I was horrified. I was like, oh God, what did I do? And so I'm trying to figure my way out of this one. I'm trying to figure out how to explain this one out. And I was going to say like, oh, maybe I'll just tell them it was $25 and they gave it to me, whatever. My son, Justin, looks at it and goes, holy crap, that's $85. And everybody looks up and I turn beet red. And
thanks, Justin.
Yeah. And everybody's like, wait, what? And I'm like, I didn't realize I just wanted a flight of beer. I wasn't looking for a souvenir. I didn't realize it looked like it was $25.
But in your defense, Chris, like I saw that menu, the font is very funky. It's difficult to read.
On the paper, maybe yes. So when you scan on your phone, it's fairly like it's a stand, like, their standard app. It comes up on the app with the standard menu and it's very small type. And I could have, it looked like it was $25. Yeah. My wife literally walked over, looked at it all, kissed me on the forehead, said, you're an idiot, and went and sat down. Like, it was like the running joke. Like, what an idiot you are. And so, like, we had to walk out, like, with the bag.
And didn't she take it home? Like, didn't she hold it for you on the plane?
She had to take it on the plane ride home. Like, she's just like, this is just an embarrassment. Now, meanwhile, all the family, my nieces, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, they're all like, every holiday, you have to bring this out. And we're going to do, like, drinks in this thing. Or we're gonna do something. So, like, it's like, make Chris look like a stupid moron every time you come over a year. But, you know, it's
your Festivus celebration. Right?
Yeah, it was just embarrassment. But, you know,
did it come with the glasses, too?
It comes with those little I think okay. I sent you a picture. So it's like like this. But, you know, what's funny? It looks like Flintstones. It doesn't look like Star Wars. It's just like a pretend wood platform with legs underneath it and then four big empty teeth. It's ugly and it's stupid. And I would never buy it in a million years. And now it's stuck in my house.
Listen, like the joy that you're all going to get out of it now.
Oh, it's be a running joke of how Uncle Chris is an idiot. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a running joke.
Isn't that your new children's book coming out? Uncle Chris is an idiot.
Yeah, it's pretty my life story, but yeah, no, I think every part of the race and every part of the expo was phenomenal. Like I said, I hope they do something about opening up the congestion. But I'm really glad that we did it, and it was really a great time. So, I highly recommend it when things get better and everybody's able to. I definitely suggest you think about it. And like I said, for those who have never run a half marathon or anything like that, and you're looking to do it, these pacers are absolutely wonderful. Kudos to Jeff and his team, because they really do a really great job of finding people who are helpful and thoughtful and know how to keep everybody excited and happy to running. And like I said, you know, the end of a half marathon, I could have gone for another, you know, another half marathon, because she just kept us at a wonderful pace. So it was great.
Yay.
Any other questions about the whole thing, or is it
the only other question, Chris, is at the end of the race, mm-hmm. when you go through the medal is given to you, and then mm-hmm. you go and you get your banana and your goodie package and everything.
Banana.
There was always a big crowd of people waiting for the runners.
Uh-huh.
Was it that way
yeah.
this time?
They just did like the usual. Always? Yeah. There were a crowd of people, but what's interesting is they had like a yellow line down. I think they've had it in the past, and they want people back behind it.
Right.
So yeah, there were a lot of people. Well, you know, what's interesting is that it's always like right in the front when people are trying to, you know, you're coming through the bag check. They had like seven bag checks and you could go through them. And then on the other side, like people are waiting for their runners to come. So they're crowding the front. But once you go out, there's a lot of room, you know? Yeah. So it wasn't too bad. You know, they have stations there for like beer and other things, which of course every runner wants to have right after they finish a race. But
our podcast.
Yeah. But it was fine. It was like, I put on my mask after I was done. I just kind of went out into the crowd and we saw our family that was waiting for us after the half. After the full, we just basically went straight to the buses and, you know, nobody was waiting for us because, you know, nobody gives a rat's patootie about us running another race. So they were like, yeah, we'll catch you later. Although I will say, no, that's not true. My sons did surprise us on the course. They saw us. Where did we see them?
Come on. You were at the yacht club. All they had to do is walk out.
No, they did. Well, what I feel bad is they caught us earlier up. They were up by, I think they were up the road past the boardwalk. And we went right by them, didn't see them. And so they chased us down and we're like, hey. So they actually like we, you know, hugged them and said, hey. So they actually did come and see us for that part. But at the finish line, we just jumped on a bus and went home and then changed. And
your cramps went away.
Yeah. Well, luckily, like I said, I guzzled that water down because I was afraid at some point it might just cramp up. So but I was fine. So it was good. I spent the rest of the week walking park, so I had no issues after that, so it was good.
Thank you.
So I guess next week we'll talk about my time at the parks and thoughts about what's going on down there and in general, right? So, mm-hmm. So I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. If you want to reach out to us, send us a message on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Scribner McLean, did I get it right?
McLean.
Do you have to pause like that, or you just say McLean?
I'm just doing it for you so you get it.
The Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa. I'm Chris Eliopoulos. Scoper, as he likes to say, Scoper. I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.